Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Kim Clijsters. Yeah, she was my idol. Like, I wanted to be like.
But she was
Kim
a hardcore, Clijster. Mainly a hardcore player, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. So was I.
Yeah. Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
All right, I'm not sure we could have a better guest for our You Had to Be There this week. We have in studio with us today Fitz, Owen Fitzgibbon, a good Corkman from Actual Killer. Owen McGrath, known as Magoo, a good tip man, the week that's in it. He's the one doing tricks in the video for Killer, I think. Are you the one flicking the ball off the top of the hurl?
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Have you?
yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Also with us, Eddie Keogh, the Honest Broker from Enniscorthy in Wexford. Were you a hurler as well?
No, wasn't. To be honest, I played a good bit of rugby, and I rowed locally close to Rowan, but the GAA seemed to escape me somehow. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know.
And yet, I see you bring hurls where you're going these days. Is that
I try to sneak them in. We've got these big guitar cases, and if you can sneak one into the side of it, I try my best. We had them for we did a UK tour there in a lot of big fields last year, and I had them. We were all around, and we did Musgrave Park. I think we had it, or at least
that was it. The Musgrave Park one I saw.
That was fun. It's kind of fun. I think I might start doing that again.
So we just need to get this out of the way very quickly. The game is on Sunday afternoon. You're in Nottingham the night before.
Yes.
And Galway on that night.
Yes.
What the hell are you going to do?
We've been planning.
Look, there are many options. We've priced up helicopters. We've looked at motorbikes.
We're going to get a couple of Mini Coopers and have them kitted out so that we can dodge through lanes of traffic or whatever. And then
we're going to get there.
Actually, Mini Coopers are probably bad. It's probably not the right. We'll think about it. Many
options. We're going to have many options. Yeah. Backup plans upon backup plans.
Well, I think we might be able to push the gig by a couple of minutes. And I'm sure people might be accommodating given the circumstances.
Yeah.
For 10 or 15
and
minutes.
And so if it goes extra time and penalties, you're totally fucked.
Yeah. Just go live on TikTok or something. That's where the helicopter comes in, isn't it?
Lands directly in the middle of the pitch.
Get out of the way.
Is the helicopter more plausible than people might think?
I think it's less plausible.
I think it's very plausible. Unbelievably plausible.
It's not that fast.
It's very fast.
It's a 2-hour drive. It's one hour and 15 minutes in helicopter.
No, well, it's actually...
Is that a Google Maps option?
I did it. There's a website you can do like a quick quote, and it's like the distance from here to here, it'll take this long.
We must look into it because it'd be so funny.
And the other thing I need to ask is, are you not playing in Croker on Sunday? This is like the most zeitgeisty GAA song ever.
I suppose that's probably a question for the GAA.
Was there ever any talks of it? Any ever hint of it?
Didn't come to us anyway.
Or lent up the tree.
We'll stick the clip out here and start calling
again. This is the call to action, yeah, for sure. But it seems like a missed opportunity. Do you think this could be unbelievable?
I guess I'm sure conversations.
When Tip win, it'll be unfair. Killers play it.
The ascension's been ridiculous. You were talking. What's it? The summer of 2021. You boys are playing and messing around, and was it the affirmation of your housemates to tell you that you could actually do something here?
Yeah, well, like that, I think that's always the correct. Like, you'd be an awful idiot if you thought that it was going to be you, you know. But then it was literally the boys in the house. The very first thing that happened was we wrote a song called Eyes Don't Lie together, and the lads in the house were like, "You didn't write that," you know, and immediately taking a piss, being like, "Yeah, good luck, you wrote that." And we were kind of looking at each other, being like, "Oh, right, this feels like something special or something is happening," and then from there it just snowballed. Like an awful lot of people talk about, like, in any field, whether it be sport or any kind of anything mad like this, luck plays such a massive role in it. If we had tried this 10 years ago, like, banjos weren't nearly as popular as they're becoming now, and Irish traditional music is the same thing. I think it's like people talk about, oh no, it's great, blah blah blah, and I do think the songs obviously resonate with people, but ultimately I think it, right time, right place plays an awful, massive element.
Yeah, part of it, yeah, definitely.
So the ascent has been amazing. We're drinking it in, as the boys would say.
Yeah. So we're doing stuff daily now that last year would have been the biggest day of our lives.
What would be the change there?
We're coming up to Dublin for 2 days to do a load of radio interviews. If we had gotten one last year, it'd be like, oh my god,
yeah,
this is it. Or like, we're like making plans for next year.
The They're scandalous.
Yeah. Beyond any of our wildest dreams.
Just the like even the gigs, yeah. The noise at the gigs. Like we had a fella go out with a sound meter, a decibel meter.
Yeah.
And it was really? Like, yeah, it was 127 decibels. I don't know if that means anything.
Here's anymore. The science bit from the three engineers.
There you go. Yeah. But it's somewhere around a
120 is dangerous.
Yeah, 127 I think is a 737 or 747 taking off or something.
It's very loud.
I don't know if it's that. It's from a near unsafe distance anyway. It's very loud.
So you say luck starts it, but then how do you explain the decibel levels that are potentially dangerous? Like you have 70 million streams, 800,000 monthly Spotify listeners. That's certainly not luck. So what's happened? It's hard, I suppose, for yourselves to analyse it being in it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you'd go mad. I think we're enjoying it. And I think people feed off that.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to be the big men if we can help it. I think that anyone that we saw coming up, the more they were able to show of themselves, I felt like the more connected I was to them and the more I kind of could understand them as people rather than this big lad up in high horse and I think the
rockstar.
Yeah. I think that the age of that kind of celebrity is gone really. I know, and I kind of love it at the same time. Lewis Capaldi for me blew the lid clean off that. This was like he'd no right to be the biggest pop star in the world considering he's a self-described, you know, he just wants to sit around and drink pints and eat chips and he doesn't really care about anything. And
boards in his underwear.
Yeah. Literally. So like analysing it is impossible. I think maybe you get a good start and then the career is based on being a real person as much as you can be and trying to have a bit of a laugh. Other than that, I don't think there's much point in trying to analyse it.
The authenticity is real and that comes across. I think, like, obviously this is a sports show, so we should talk about the song. We were talking about it off air, how quickly it came together and how maybe it's better if you explain it and I try and put words on it afterwards, but so start at the start.
Yeah,
tell us about Yank.
Summer last year.
He must be loving
a friend
this
of mine, yeah, a friend of mine Yank who happened to get a red card yesterday in the game actually. He came to me last summer and we had kind of a good junior team at the time and like it looked like we might go kind of far and win something. And he was like, oh, we've no song to sing or anything, you know, and I always wanted a club song and stuff. You'd hardly write one, would you? And after we had been doing some kind of big gigs and stuff at the time. And I was like, yeah, you'll help me a bit. And he's like, no, I won't help you. You'll write it on your own. So then we were in studio in October, I think.
Yeah.
And Sam Magoo was in the room doing like real moody minor key banjo stuff. And me and Eddie just ran off for 15 minutes and put together a real joyful melody of Killa. And we had like the la 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 bit, and then Magoo comes running into the room and is like, what if we do Kill La La? And that was then the song completed and done.
Yeah.
And that like evening spent 5 minutes just making a video of it, sent it to Yank and to my brother. And within maybe 2 weeks, it was doing the rounds everywhere on WhatsApp.
We fired it up on TikTok as well, though. And thinking.
But it wasn't until, like, that was just, like, it was then December where we put it out as a B-side, and it didn't do a whole lot until like March.
Until Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
Paddy's Weekend is what did it. Because we worked out, I was like, why is this? What's going on with this song? And then it was looking when I was flicking through TikTok and there was a whole lot of like, get ready with me for Patrick's Weekend or whatever. And someone, we could probably find out who was the first person to do it if we went back. But someone was just like, I'll try this. And then the whole thing just, and then, because I remember being like, oh, it'll die down after Paddy's Weekend. And then someone was like, you know, the hurling's about to start.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, sweet mother of God, what is about to happen here? Like, and then for the whole summer, like Killer even in a...
They lost the league final.
Oh, jeez, sorry to hear.
Sorry, Killer. But, you know, you could use it and play it as an upbeat song to get ready, like you say, and also a mournful song about a defeat, like, because it somehow has both those elements. Like, I was listening to one of the live versions of it, was one from Cork, just this morning, before we started chatting, like, and it is amazing. I'd love to know, like, what's the feeling like when you write a song and then an audience of complete strangers sing it back to you with even more passion than you have? Can you just, how do you describe that feeling?
It's, I think Fairview Park a couple of weekends ago was so beyond anything I've ever felt before in my life when we came down off the stage. Like, our managers came up to us and they were just, Paul, one of our managers came up and was like, I cried from start to finish at the gig. And like trying to quantify these things,
There's no words.
There's nothing. You don't wouldn't get near it, like, to hear the noise and be like, your brain is completely scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Listen to it. Mm. Whatever you imagine it could be, it's more, it's 10 times more.
And how do you stay so in the moment, in the middle of it, when that's happening, and you're like, so if your brain is scrambled eggs, what point does that happen? Is it afterwards?
After we played Killa for Fairview, the crowd just kept getting loud. They were like cheering or whatever, and then we kind of stepped off and we're just trying to, because like everyone always says, take a minute to smell the roses in these situations, because it's not going to last forever. These big opportunities, when they come, you should really take a moment and try and drink it in. And we just stepped off the mics and just stood back. And they were just
louder and louder.
The cheers just kept getting louder.
Louder and louder. It went on for about 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And the three of us were just like say, six of us even, were just looking at each other on stage being like, what?
We wouldn't have started another song if we wanted to.
No. We wouldn't have had a hope.
Yeah. It was nuts.
I can see it. Just, talking about it, you can see.
Yeah.
I was on to a buddy of mine who's a professional musician in Cork, and I was asking, do you know the lads actually? And he was like, oh no, but they're like the biggest fucking band in Ireland at the moment. It's like, and this is a cynical guy, by nature.
Yeah.
But it's not obviously not just that song, of course, but it's relevant to what's happening this week as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Did you support Bruce Springsteen as well?
We did, and we were on the bill.
That was probably the wildest weekend, because we had done, it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we were supporting Dermot Kennedy on the Friday in Ireland.
And
we'd fly over to London on the Saturday to Hyde Park for Bruce Springsteen, and then fly back to support Dermot again on the Sunday in Ireland. I'd say that was, at the time, the craziest thing that had happened so far.
Yeah, it was fairly...
Probably been beat again.
It was fairly loose.
Yeah.
How much of your days would you spend thinking about writing new material, rather than perfecting what you already have written?
An awful lot.
What's the balance there?
I would say you're either a serial starter or a serial finisher. You'll find people who will write half songs constantly, or someone who will stick with the one song for months. And I am definitely
the former.
Yeah. So I would say, like, driving or the shower or the toilet. Toilet's a great place to write a song. Unbelievable.
Everyone says that the bathroom in general is the room of creativity.
Oh my God. The throne room. There'd be no better place. No, I generally, by virtue of doing the singing, will start a lot of the songs and then head into the lads with kind of half ideas or two thirds of the way done or the lyrics and be like, what do you think of this? So like...
Usually they start slowly, and by the time they get to the two of us, we end up speeding them up.
Yeah. The old banjo now tends to have a way. I've written a ballad. No, you haven't. But it's different all the time. And I think making things, it's just for the crack. And if you love what you're doing and you're kind of making these things, like if you get too big into it or try to make more of it than it is, like you'll never get anywhere.
Kurt Cobain or Dave Grohl once said, it was like, if you set out to try and write a hit, you never will.
No, not a chance.
Ever. No.
It's not like a KPI to hit in the business.
Yeah. No, you can't. You couldn't sit down and... You
can't force it.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Like, I don't know how... Like, obviously, that's part of magic, that you don't know how it works. But...
Surrender to the process instead of just being like, I need to write a big song.
Let's do it.
That's a great one. Surrender to the process is a great one.
Trying to fake it doesn't make it something timeless. People can smell that it's fake.
100%.
Whereas
100%.
A hit is timeless. And that needs to be genuine, I think.
Yeah.
For me, that's probably where the difference is there somewhere.
I think the line about, like, the thing about the GA is it's your GA club is going to carry you to the grave, right?
Mm.
That is at the end of the song. That whole sense of, like, actually, this is a lifelong thing. That authenticity came through in that song. And I think, while obviously it's great to get ready to, that's why it's resonating with people. It's not just a Cork song. And I know if Tip win, maybe they'll sing it.
Thank you.
I'm sure they will.
We'll find some of the Cork fans just to piss them off.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the thing, because it's the title, and it's about one club, just one club.
It's about every
club. You can use every, you can just insert every any name you want in to the process.
As long as it scans with the chorus.
You have a sporting memory each for us. Do you? Because this is technically under the guise of you had to be there, of course.
You did?
Yeah.
You did.
I'll say I had a cousin, Laura Tracy. She's played Cork Camogie for years. She won an All-Ireland, or she's won many of them at this point, but I think the first one I was at was 2015, so it was cool to see a family member win an All-Ireland. So I'll say that.
Pretty good.
Savage.
That's mine.
I'm just going to say the 2010 Tip versus Kilkenny All-Ireland.
Oh, similar decibel levels.
Battling back and forth for years against, thank God we stopped them from the five in a row. And I'll never forget Lara Corbett scoring that hat-trick against Kilkenny. I was at the very top of the Hogan stand with my mammy. it was unreal. And they came around to all the primary school. They were like royalty when they came to the primary school after. It was so cool. Like, when you're that young, it means so much.
So you were a hurler as well, growing up? Or?
Yeah, I played for club now. It wasn't hectic, but...
What was the club?
Ballina.
Okay.
Yeah, so up Ballina.
Yeah. I'll go with the Ronan O'Gara draft goal 09.
I knew you'd pick it.
I remember I was at home for the first half. I was at a neighbour's house. And I don't know why I didn't go in. My dad went into Rackards in Enniscorthy. And at halftime, I was like, you need to drive me in to the neighbour. And he was like, absolutely. So he drove me in. And I remember when the drop goal went over, every light bulb in the pub was smashed. And a mice teacher was actually at the back corner of the room. And she, like, I remember just the feeling and the elation. And that's such a special memory for me and my father, like, you know. And maybe, like, I know in a lot of Irish households, that relationship is a bit of a mad one, like, you know. But that's such a poignant memory for me, that ball going over. And then Rory Best gave away a penalty after that, didn't he? I don't know which one of the Welsh lads missed.
Stephen Jones
missed the penalty at the end. But I remember I played hooker and looked up an awful lot to Rory Best.
Did you?
And he gave away the penalty. And I'll be honest, for the 30 or 90 seconds between the penalty being given and the ball dropping short, I was not a happy boy. But
so is rugby your main sport, or is that just the main moment?
Yeah, I would say rugby is probably my well, yeah.
How did you know he was going to pick that?
It's been mentioned before. Definitely the
big
sporting
one.
Moment you'd mention the most.
Watch it on the YouTubes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
You need to get it going before a gig, like just throwing the Ronan O'Gara.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Good idea. Who's going to win this weekend? Cork or
Tipperary? Obviously Cork.
And who's going to win this weekend?
Sorry.
It's Tipperary. There may be no gig on Sunday night in Galway.
Black eyes and broken legs.
Yeah, I'm worried.
Extra far apart on the stage.
What actually is the contingency plan if this goes all the way to extra time and penalties?
Well, yeah.
Reschedule the gig?
Reschedule the match?
No. Look, we will be at the gig.
Yeah. three and a half thousand or something.
So Lauren Hill showed up at 2 in the morning recently to a gig in New York.
And she all Ireland.
Yeah, there was something else on, I think, that was her.
And as a neutral, so who do you think's going to win? Wexford native here.
I would love to see Cork win in Ireland, to be honest. For Hoggy, in fairness, he's been there a while and
they will go crazy.
Great, like, to have a non-Cork person support.
That's after sticking a bit in my mouth, but
there you go. Exactly. This one time we'll let you away with a Colm. Yeah. Colm is from Cork and is a bit concerned.
I won't begrudge if you win. You deserve it.
No.
I think you got robbed last year, but I don't think you're going to win.
Fitz was in. I don't think I've ever seen you in as bad a form as.
Well, I've never seen, like, so 2005 was the last time Cork won. When I was 7, I don't really remember it. So yeah, I'd love to. I have a cousin on the panel as well. So again, another family affair.
Oh yeah,
Jeremy Lyric is my cousin.
Yeah. All right. So it'll be nice. So you're steeped in hurling.
My family be big hurlers. Yeah, Fitzgibbon Cup is my great grandfather's or great granduncle's cup. So it's big family affair. Yeah.
Okay.
Big. Yeah. My brother is a big hurler. My father was always a big hurler. It's a family thing.
So you would have been yourself if you hadn't.
Yeah, yeah.
If you hadn't done the knee, I did.
That's the reason I play music, because I got injured for a year and found out there was other things than hurling to do, you know, and then I ended up playing music.
Sent the leg the wrong way.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not great.
Not great.
That too much.
No.
Put the listeners off.
No.
Well, listen, you've caught lightning in a bottle. Congratulations, and long may it continue. Thanks a million for coming and sharing your messages with us. If anybody out there is rich enough and has a helicopter that is available on Sunday evening, that's the first thing. And second thing, the GAA should make a late call, and they could pay for your helicopter. You'll waive your fee if they pay for the helicopter to fly you direct from Croker to wherever the gig is on Sunday, which is already sold out.
Yeah. Get these lads to pay $1 and win.
Yeah. Kingfisher, lads.
Thanks,
lads. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.